Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Holly Sagayan, and I'll be your host for today's program, Online Regulation Ratchets Up, part of a series examining the 2011 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 10th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and member firm partners and senior practitioners. Here today to discuss online privacy trends are Roel van Rijswijk, Duncan Stewart, and Jordan Prokopy. Roel with Deloitte Netherlands is a senior manager with the Enterprise Risk Services practice, where he has more than 10 years of experience in risk consulting. Roel works for technology and media companies in the field of risk management, compliance, integrity, and corporate responsibility. He also leads one of the main innovation programs in the Netherlands on trust in a digital world. Roel, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan is a privacy consultant with Deloitte Canada's Enterprise Risk Services Group. Jordan specializes in providing clients with strategic and operational privacy advice and solutions. Jordan assists clients with privacy program development and implementation. Jordan, thanks for being here today.
Great to be here, Holly.
Finally, Duncan Stewart is Director of Deloitte Canada Research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, nice to have you with us.
Good to be here, Holly.
Privacy, especially online privacy, is an issue that affects businesses as well as anyone who has ever made an online purchase. And laws regarding privacy, if anything, are getting more and more stringent. So what significant changes do you see taking place in 2011?
Holly, we see a lot of big changes, but rather than me just going on, Paul Lee and I are the co-authors of Deloitte Predictions, but we always reach out to people around the world who work with Deloitte, subject matter experts, we call them. We're honored to have two of the leading thought leaders in the area of privacy in Deloitte around the world join us today. So I'm actually going to sit back and I'm going to let Jordan and Roel answer most of the questions from here on in.
Okay, great. Thank you. Roel, do you want to start us out today?
Yes, with pleasure. So definitely in Europe in 2011, things will change. There's an EU directive due for implementation, which, amongst other things, will require websites to, well, say, obtain permission from users whenever cookies are installed. So if you apply that to the letter, that could have a major impact on online businesses. For example, if a user should read privacy policies and click yes or no every time a cookie is dropped, surfing on the web would be, well, a dreadful experience. But things probably won't be that bad. We could be wrong, but given the current political climate, we don't think that member states will implement the directive in such a way that it will, well, seriously harm the online industry. So I know for a fact in the Netherlands and other member states, they are looking, for example, for a browser-based solution where permission can be given once off. Then again, nothing is certain. And one thing is certain, the confusion will increase in 2011 as all these individual member states in Europe will implement the directive in different ways. So that means a challenge for globally operating online businesses, because they will face policy and legal confusions in the years ahead. And consumers will be facing different protections across geographies. Well, and the messy and contradictory laws and regulations are nothing new, but you know, if you're an engineer who looks at the world in a digital way, what are you supposed to code?
Right, and any company that is doing cross-border transactions has to deal with all those different laws.
Yes, the visitor, the consumer, the nationality of the consumer who visits your website, you have to comply with the privacy law regulations of that visitor.
Jordan, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, so to give it a little bit of a North American perspective and to see sort of what this may mean for companies in North America, I wanted to look at Canada and really emphasize the fact that it doesn't seem like we should really expect to see brand new legislation surface in 2011 that would sort of change the way that companies are operating sort of online, and this is really because Canadian regulators are seeing existing federal privacy laws as sufficient, really, in responding to evolving technology, and that would include sort of the online advertising world. So interesting to say that, you know, we may not begin to see any new legislation surface in Canada. This isn't necessarily true in the U.S., as there have been sort of online bills introduced that would regulate privacy online. And while I did say that, you know, in Canada we shouldn't expect to see new privacy legislation, Canadian regulators are really looking at new ways of applying current legislation to regulating things like targeted advertising online. So, you know, what does this mean for business, really? Well, I guess U.S. and Canadian regulators are starting to see, for example, that information that's associated with a specific computer, IP address, or even cookies, they're starting to see that information as personal information. And this would mean that it would be worthy of the same types of protection that would be afforded under law. Now, they're also considering and starting to urge companies to really obtain consent from individuals to use their information for purposes that really aren't essential to the company's business or services. And that would even include sort of the use of cookies for targeted advertising. So how regulators will enforce these interpretations, I think that gives us something to look forward to in 2011.
There are actually a lot of companies that are currently using that technology that, if you know, if you look at a shirt online, they will offer up, you know, matching slacks or, you know, a matching jacket. I mean, and that's already quite popular on a number of sites. So would that have to change?
So I think the way that wouldn't necessarily, I think, have to change, but the way that it's regulated, I think we may see some significant changes coming into 2011. Sort of up until now, it's been a model of self-regulation, but I think you know, regulators, whether it's in North America or even in the EU, are starting to see those sort of self-regulation efforts as maybe not sufficient for protecting personal information online. So in terms of regulation, we may start to see things change a little bit, but I don't think that will significantly impact the way that companies are using those things like cookies.
So how can companies prepare for some of these changes that you're both talking about?
Well, I think sort of first and foremost, because things are so rapidly changing sort of in this environment or in this landscape, I think that companies really need to, you know, stay informed and as up-to-date as possible on this privacy landscape, including any sort of new privacy laws or regulation. And really, I think in 2010, we didn't see any shortage of excitement on how, whether it's industry or privacy regulators, sort of indicating how they think that, you know, privacy online should or needs to be regulated. And I think this excitement will definitely go on into 2011 with seeing sort of different, you know, best practices put out there, as well as the potential of new privacy bills.
Rule?
Yeah, I fully agree with what Jordan just said. And to put it simply, well, first of all, regulate yourself before you get regulated. I think online businesses should go beyond compliance and follow a principle-based approach. And more importantly, as an industry, you're trying to avoid any serious privacy disasters or mishaps, because then definitely more draconian regulations will come your way.
Right, absolutely. And I think a second way that companies can prepare is also to consider, you know, further investing in their current privacy programs and infrastructure. And I think things that companies could focus on is really to sort of try and empower consumers and to give them a little bit more control over how sort of their data is used as well as shared online. And, you know, enabling consumers to do that, I think it could be very simple for companies. And that may include things like providing, you know, individuals with sort of a set of clear and simple choices that would really guide the company on how to handle that consumer's data sort of in line with what their wishes are.
And that's actually a tenet of the whole safe harbor guidelines too, is that people must have access to their data and be able to have a say in how it's used. So that's not new for the U.S., but that's not necessarily applicable elsewhere in the world either, right?
Well, in Europe, if you look at the privacy regulations, then and there's a difference within the US. In Europe, the data still belongs to the individual. So you have the right to have it erased, you have the right to access it, or you have the right to modify it. The question in online is whether data collected based on an IP address or a cookie is considered, let's say, personally identifiable information. I think that's the big debate that's happening now all over the globe.
Well, in some cases, I think it is, but in other cases, it is probably more anonymous. So there's, I think, right, there's no clear answer there.
It's definitely a gray area, yes.
All right. Well, what about consumers? What benefits will they see as a result of some of these changes?
Well, to start off, first of all, we shouldn't forget that consumers benefit from data collected about them in many ways. For example, better search results, better experience when surfing the web, and also more relevant messages targeted at them. So importantly, we have the so-called free online services that are paid for by targeted advertising. But if then governments and self-regulation includes initiatives as just discussed by Jordan, where consumers are notified when they are tracked and have the ability to opt out, more control is with the consumer. And if it also means that he can access and modify the data collected, that would also mean more relevant messages targeted at them. It's in short the ability to exercise the right to be left alone. Stop targeting me for cell phones because I'm not interested in cell phones. But maybe there are some messages out there that you are interested in.
Right. Okay. Jordan?
And I think part of providing consumers with choice is also to provide them with notice and to give them a little bit more understanding about how their data is being used online and in terms of online advertising. And I think that what we will start to see in terms of benefits to consumers, not only in terms of giving them more control, is that they'll also start to gain a better understanding and a better awareness of how companies are using their data online. And we've definitely seen this, towards the latter half of 2010. There was sort of a large news website that dedicated an entire series and several web pages and articles on really describing or revealing what online companies know about their users. So I think notice and choice is definitely something that consumers will see and will benefit from. And I think that industry over sort of the past year has really come up with some very innovative tools in order to provide this awareness and this choice, and it really demonstrates their commitment to self-regulation in this space. And this included, for example, there was an educational campaign that users were directed to when they clicked on sort of headlines or banners such as advertising is creepy. So I definitely think that there's some benefits to consumers and that there's some efforts out there to try and promote sort of notice and awareness to consumers about what's going on online. And I do think that, if companies are committed to providing this notice and choice, that the companies themselves will start to see benefits. And I think that includes things like creating sort of a competitive advantage, as well as to really fostering some consumer trust. And then I think that inevitably leads to creating additional business.
And some of the draft laws are so restrictive at this point that some people are saying it could really hamper businesses or shut them down in some way. Do you think that that's the case?
Well, I know at least in the U.S., for example, there has been sort of competing bills that have been put forth. And I think the reason why sort of two bills and maybe even several later on in 2011 have been put forth is because some of them have seemed to be extremely onerous on companies themselves. And ones that are starting to really surface that seem to be sort of providing a better compromise in terms of sort of fostering innovation while also protecting consumers' privacy online, the ones that are starting to come forth that sort of strike that balance is getting support, I think, not only politically, but also from business as well through different online companies. So I don't think that some of these bills, the ones that will be passed, I think, in 2011 or even further into 2012, I don't think that those bills will be as onerous as it's made to seem, I think, as it was in 2010.
Well,
yeah, and I think the same applies here in Europe. The EU directive that I mentioned, if you take it at face value, it definitely is a scare for the businesses for which it is relevant. But then they have the debates and the discussions with the industry itself. They find out that what they actually wanted to do is actually also not good for the consumers. And again, I think also given the fact that we are recovering from a crisis, I don't believe that in 2011 we will see the actual implementation of the law that will seriously impede online businesses in the European countries.
Well, that sounds like it's good news then for businesses and consumers alike. I want to thank you all for joining me today on Deloitte Global Insights. This has been very interesting.
Thanks, Holly.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Thanks, Holly, for having us all on, and it's great to be able to show the depth of the team that goes into working on these predictions.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2011 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee and its network of member firms, each of which is legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.